I've been having a difficult time typing all of this out. Not only am I not a writer, but I've been debating whether or not sharing this so openly is such a good idea. I've had the ability to sense the demonic ever since I was a child, and that's the only reason I could come up with as to why what had happened to me a week ago hadn't dragged me by the balls, descending me into complete and utter madness. No matter how many times I tried to keep it controlled, it didn't get any easier. I was 12 when I discovered what I could do. With no one to help me, I had to learn how to keep it hidden. I know that it must sound absolutely insane, but it's the truth, whether anyone believes me or not. It was an hour after I had showered and dressed when I caught a glimpse of headlights from Roland's Jeep as he pulled into the driveway. Roland and I have been roommates for over a year now, after my grandmother passed, but we've been best friends since I was 10, a few months after my parents' tragic deaths. At around 6'2", and handsome with dark brown hair, olive skin, hazel eyes, and an outgoing personality, he was usually the center of attention. At one time, I had even grown feelings for him. Roland wasn't homophobic in any way, but to avoid any awkwardness between us, I just decided to keep my feelings to myself. Not to mention that Roland seemed to have shown zero discernible interest beyond our friendship. Roland smiled and waved as I made my way over.
"Hey, Gavin. Sorry I'm late,"
Roland said as he reached over to move his duffel bag to the back seat.
"Traffic was a nightmare."
I shook my head and shrugged.
Don't worry about it, man. Hey, are you sure you're still up for tonight? I mean, if you want."
Roland shook his head.
"Hold up. Are you honestly suggesting that we postpone your 21st?
"No. Unacceptable."
"What's the big deal anyway?"
I asked.
"You know, I've had my first drink when I was 16.
Not only that, but the pandemic really narrowed places we could go. The bowling alley was open, so we decided that was the place to hang out.
"Yeah, and now you'll be able to drive legally like every other adult. Plus, I've been stuck inside a cabin in the woods for an entire week. So you're absolutely right, we're going to celebrate."
For years, Roland had been going on vacation with his family once a month. The perks of working with his father. His whole family were close-knit, and they usually did a lot of things together. Sometimes I envied him for it.
"Oh, and did you forget? Arian will be there too."
Roland nodded. He wiggled his eyebrows, and I smiled warmly at the thought of seeing her in person for the first time. Her and I have been chatting online for months, and we fell for each other immediately. Rather than being the manic pixie dream girl, Arian embodied that cliché with a toughness. She had a unique personality, and had a few things in common with me. She had shoulder-length blonde hair, dipped in pink lips, embellished by pale skin, and beautiful, icy blue eyes. She had told me how her friends would compare her looks to Alexandra Daddario, and quite honestly, I could see it. We arrived at the bowling alley around 7 to meet up with the others. Arian waved at us as we got out of the jeep and put on our masks. The petite, curly blonde who stood next to her was her best friend, Shelby, and the tall, beefy, dark-skinned man was Shelby's fiancé, Jasper. I kind of knew them from high school, but we barely talked. We were more like ships passing in the night. As far as places went in a small town, the bowling alley was well cared for, but the balls for rent came with small notches taken out, and the lanes featured a few devotees here and there. In my opinion, it wasn't ideal if you're seeking competitive sports, but the fry oil that wafted from the snack bar was enticing enough to compensate. I walked up to the register where Arian stood with her purse open, apologizing to the plump, balding man behind the counter.
"I'm sorry, I must have left my wallet at home or something."
"Here, let me,"
I offered as I put out my own wallet and placed enough cash down for the both of us. Arian looked at me as the man handed us two pairs of shoes.
You didn't have to do that, Gavin,
she said. She grabbed her shoes and tucked her purse underneath her arm.
Especially not on your birthday.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. I shook my head and grabbed my scuffed-up bowling shoes and thanked the man for being patient with us. The guy just gave me a belligerent sigh in return. I didn't blame him. If I had to deal with all the children's parties that happened here quite often, I'd probably be a little bitter, too. After I laced up my shoes, I made my way over to the racks that displayed the different variety of balls. I ran my hand over a few available options before I eventually settled on a black one with a purple-printed skull on it. Arian walked up beside me, and my chest swelled.
Hey, I said. Hi.
She glanced down at the ball I had in my hands.
Oh, nice choice. That's usually my go-to when I used to come here with my dad.
Do you want this one? I can pick a different one, I said.
That's fine. I just think it's kind of cool that we have similar tastes in balls.
She chuckled as she grabbed a crimson ball with golden swirls on it. She held it up, and I watched as her slender fingers slid into the holes. I was about to crack a joke about it when I suddenly felt lightheaded. I glanced around, but nothing really stood out to me until I looked over at the snack bar. A tall, wiry man with shaggy blonde hair stood at the register with his back towards me. His head snapped in my direction, and my breath hitched. I watched as his true face rippled beneath his human facade. His skin was milky white, and his obsidian eyes narrowed at me. I quickly averted my eyes and placed the ball on the rack.
Hey, Gavin, are you all right?
Arian asked, giving me a look of concern.
I'm fine. I'm just gonna go to the restroom. I'll be right back.
As I washed my hands in the sink, I kept replaying that man's face in my head. My heart raced, and I felt hot. I needed to calm down. Maybe he didn't see me. Maybe it's all in my head. Maybe. When I looked up at my reflection, something made me stop and take a second look in the mirror. What the hell? I thought to myself as I kept examining my face. My throat squeezed with fear as I stared at the left side of my face. Black, spidery, thread-like lines creeped from my scalp and across my cheek. They interlaced with one another. My eyes were oily black. That was a new one. I nearly panicked as I quickly backed away from the mirror, and I yelled when I heard a knocking on the other side of the door.
Hey, Gavin, you in there?
It was Roland. I glanced back at the mirror and expected to see dark lines and black eyes. But there was nothing. It was just my normal human face that stared back at me. I debated whether or not to open the door. There was possibly a demon ordering pizza, and there was a good chance he saw me and my face. Another knock.
Gavin, you in there? You didn't get stuck in the toilet, did you?
I took a few moments before I calmed myself down, placing my mask back on and unlocking the door. Roland was right outside, giving me a worried look.
Whoa, man. Are you all right? You're looking a bit pale.
I took a deep breath and nodded.
I'm fine. Come on, let's start the game already, I said, walking back over to the racks.
I just needed to keep my head down, and if I see that man again, I'll just have to ignore him. We all sat in the uncomfortable plastic chairs as Jasper stepped up first. We all watched as his ball rolled all the way to the left and right into the gutter.
I thought you said you were an excellent bowler.
Shelby giggled.
Oh, excuse me. I'm just a bit rusty is all, he said.
He faked being hurt and kissed her on the forehead.
You two are so cute, Arian gushed.
Then she turns to me.
Okay, Gavin, you're up.
I got up from the chair and strode up to the wooden platform. I held the ball up and peered over at the newly erect pins. I took a deep breath and drew my arm back and swung it forward with a slight twist. The ball spun dizzily as it flew down the lane with a characteristic curve. "Come on, come on," I whispered in a mantra. Luckily, the ball connected with a thunderous crack as all the pins clattered to the floor.
"Hell yeah, nice job,"
Roland and Arian cheered. After our game, Roland won, the five of us headed to the parking lot.
"So, what are you two doing now?"
Jasper asked. I zipped up my jacket. I don't know. Probably headed back to our place, I guess. Arian, who was walking close behind Shelby, twirled on her heels to face me.
"You two should come back with us."
I glanced over at Roland, who nodded.
"I'm up for it if Gavin is, since he's the birthday man."
I turned back to face Arian.
Sure, why not?
"Awesome, it'll be fun. And hey, the night's still young."
She winked and followed Shelby to Jasper's car, but not before texting me the address in case we got lost. After about 20 minutes on the road, Roland spoke up.
"I almost forgot. Will you reach back there and grab the black bag behind my seat?"
Yeah, sure.
I grabbed the bag and set it in my lap.
"Go ahead and open it."
I loosened the red ribbon from the bag and pulled out a rectangular box. Nestled in the black crinkled paper was an obsidian blade. I brushed my fingertips over the silver wolf-shaped handle in awe. The overall length of the blade was 6 inches at most. It was inside a leather sheath pouch with a belt clip.
"Holy crap, this is..."
"It sure is. I know you've been wanting to get one for a while now. Plus, I always know how much you love wolves, so I had the handle custom made.
Happy birthday, Gav."
"Thank you so much,"
I said, as I placed the blade back into the box. I was about to place the lid back on, when suddenly the Jeep began to shudder violently, and the back of it slid sideways. I jerked back in my seat, and the box fell to the floor between my feet. Roland cursed and gripped the wheel as he reduced his speed and eased over to the shoulder of the road.
"What the hell was that?"
I asked. I looked out the window, but I couldn't see anything but trees.
"Oh, Christ."
Roland sighed and unbuckled his seatbelt.
"I think one of the tires must have blew. You all right, Gav?"
Yeah, I think so."
"Good. Just stay here. I'm going to check the damage."
"Be careful,"
I called to him as he hopped out of the Jeep.
"There could be monsters out there."
Roland turned around and gave me a smirk.
"Don't worry, Gav. I can take care of myself."
I rolled my eyes. That's what they all say in horror movies right before they die. Several minutes later, he opened the driver's side with a frown.
"It's just as I thought,"
he grumbled as he reached over to turn on the hazards.
"Tires blown to hell."
"Well, that sucks. I guess somebody doesn't want us to party tonight," I said, sitting back in my seat.
Don't you have a spare?"
Roland nodded.
"Of course I do, but it might take a while.
Call Arian and tell her what happened."
Wait.
I opened the compartment and handed him a flashlight.
"You probably should take this since it's dark out."
Roland looked at it for a moment and then took it, disappearing behind the Jeep again. I grabbed my phone from my pocket and dialed his number. It went straight to her voicemail. I tried again, but again went to her voicemail. I looked down at the screen. No service bars.
"You've got to be kidding me,"
I groaned in frustration. Roland came back and opened the door.
"Good news is I have a spare. Bad news is I don't have..."
When he saw my expression, he asked what was wrong.
"I can't get a signal, but that doesn't make any sense. I just had service a minute ago."
Roland checked his phone as well.
"Crap,
Same. Well, let's not panic. If I remember correctly, we're less than a mile from the closest gas station. We should head there and call for a tow. Maybe you can try calling her back. Seems like a good plan, I said. I unbuckled my seatbelt, but before I got out of the Jeep, I opened the box and grabbed the blade. I attached the sheath to my belt loop and zipped up my jacket again, hiding it from view. Roland opened his passenger door and grabbed his duffel bag. We were halfway down the road when I smelled something acrid hit my nose. I took a tentative step forward and froze as my foot stepped on a large shard of broken glass. I turned to Roland, who stood rigid in place, his eyes wide. I followed his gaze to the left, and what I saw made my blood run cold. It was Jasper's car, or what was left of it. The front of the car was in a ditch. It smelled awful, and it wasn't the engine or cracked radiator. I smelled blood. Lots of it. The whole left side was damaged and open as if something ripped through it. The car was empty. I fought through the cold panic that washed over me. I stood with my hands on my thighs, and I started to dry heave. Roland looked around as if he was searching for something. Okay, Gaff, we need to leave right now. I stood up and gave him a confused expression. Wait, why? No, we have to find them. They could be hurt, or... Gavin. A high-pitched wail tore through the trees. It was feminine. Oh, God. Arian. Without a second thought, I bolted across the road towards the forest. Gavin! I heard Roland screaming for me to stop and come back, but I kept going. I wasn't thinking straight at the time. All I could think about was Arian and every worst-case scenario. My boots sloshed into the muddy ground, and I cursed when I slipped on a pile of leaves as I staggered up a small incline. This caught me off guard, since there hadn't been a drop of rain all day. I quickly pulled out my phone and turned on the flashlight. I gasped as I spotted specks of blood intermixed with the dirt. I grimaced as a strong metallic scent hit me. I glanced down and noticed that there was a strange tint to the mud which seemed to lead further into the trees in front of me. In between two trees, I saw her. It wasn't Arian, though. It was Shelby. I gulped and I tentatively made my way over to her. At the sound, she turned her head towards me. Her frantic eyes red and blotchy with tears. She managed a weak moan, and the sound that came out made my chest tighten. Her whimpers were a bleak summation of what she went through before I found her. Her jacket was shredded and covered in blood, and her skin was covered in deep lacerations. My thoughts automatically went back to that possessed man. What if he followed us and attacked them? What if he's still here, somewhere? The rest of my thoughts were interrupted when I heard my name fall from her bloodied lips. Without hesitation, I knelt down and tried my best to console her as I carefully pulled her into my lap. Deep down, though, I knew that it was a pointless effort. I knew that by her bruised and broken body, it was too late to try and call for help, regardless if I had service or not on my phone. Her blood soaked into my pants, but I didn't care. I had the urge to find Arian, but I didn't want to leave Shelby here to die alone and afraid. Oh, God! I cried. I looked back down at Shelby, who moved her head slightly upwards to meet my eyes. Her torn lips opened, and she tried to speak, but her voice was barely audible over the sound of my own heartbeat. I stroked her head. Shh, don't speak. Shelby ignored me, and I tried again. I frowned as I bent my head down just enough so that I could hear her.
It's not.
She gurgled.
It's not.
Her whole body shook, and she dragged in air. Her lips quivered, and then finally, her shuddering chest eased. And then she was gone. The cold stillness of the woods pressed down on my heart. Tears fell as I placed her head gently on the forest floor and slowly got to my feet. I had to keep going. I broke through the trees and came upon what looked like an abandoned construction site. From the dirt-covered sign, the large building was meant to be a low-income housing complex with the same layout as a hotel. The area around it was barely lit up by a few streetlights. Part of the chain-link fence that surrounded the building was warped and bent, as if something very large ripped its way through it. I shivered. I spotted Arian's purse by the fence and ran over to pick it up. She must be here somewhere. I made my way down the dirt road toward it. I rounded the corner of the building quickly, frantically searching for a way inside. I almost didn't notice that someone had crossed my path until it was too late, and I barely registered the blood-soaked clothes before we collided. Fortunately, I managed to keep my balance, and I grabbed the other by the arm. I gasped in relief when I realized who it was.
"Holy hell! Ari! No!"
Arian screamed as she struggled to wrench herself away from me.
"Let go of me, you sick... Arian, stop! It's me, Gavin!"
At the sound of my voice, she calmed down and glanced up at me. Arian threw her arms around me and buried her tear-stained face in my chest.
"Oh my God, Gavin!"
she sobbed.
"How did you find me? Are Shelby and Jasper alive?"
"Hold on, Arian." I cut her off.
"What happened? Are you all right?"
She nodded.
"Yes, the blood. It isn't mine. We crashed and something attacked Jasper. Shelby and I ran into the forest, but then I lost her and came here. There's an entrance there, and I hid,"
she said as she pointed to a large rectangular window.
"We need to go. Whatever attacked us is probably still around."
I nodded and hoped that by the time we got back to the main road, Roland was able to call for help. I placed my phone in my pocket. I didn't want to risk the light attracting whatever was lurking in the trees. I reached to take her hand in mine, but before I did, I saw something pass over her face, just like the man's had. Her skin was gray, her eyes inky black, and her mouth split open, revealing razor-sharp teeth. I suddenly screamed and pushed myself away from her, dropping her purse.
"What's wrong?"
she asked, startled. She stared at me with human eyes and a human frown.
Your face,"
I stammered.
"My face? What's wrong with my face?"
she asked, as she took a step forward.
"Don't come any closer. I know what I saw, Arian,"
I screamed.
"No, not her, too."
Wait a minute. If I was able to sense the man right then and there, why wasn't I able to do the same with her? The reaction I expected from her mirrored in confusion or anger. But none of that happened. Instead, she smiled a toothy grin.
"So, it is true," she chuckled. "I've been able to blend in amongst your species for a very long time now. No one has ever been able to see through my glamour. That is, until I met you. I'm curious, how are you doing it?"
An icy feeling washed over me, and my heart lurched. My stomach twisted with a sensation I couldn't put into words. I couldn't even muster up a response, but Arian didn't seem to be waiting for one.
"Or can it be that you don't even know? Huh?"
She cocked her head.
"It almost makes me wonder what other charming little talents you might be hiding."
She started to circle around me. She sized me up as her dark eyes fixed on mine.
"I've been watching you for a while, and I've got to say, I was very surprised you were able to sense one of us so quickly.
My heart thudded in my chest. Arion knew this whole time. She knew who that man was, too. Was this some plan to get to me? I tried to keep my ability hidden so that I wouldn't draw any attention from their kind. I must have messed up somewhere. Why wasn't I able to sense the thing inside of you? Arion sighed and stopped moving.
Thing? Well, first of all, that was rude. I may be a demon, but I do have feelings, you know. And to answer your question, I honestly don't know. Although, unlike the one you saw at the bowling alley, I don't need a vessel in order to walk topside. What a mess this whole thing has become. I knew I shouldn't have used a demon fresh out of hell. They have more of a difficult time controlling themselves. Collateral was unavoidable.
My eyes widened as the jarring realization slammed into me. It was you. I took a few steps back. The car accident and Shelby's death. You're the one behind all of it.
Arion crossed her arms over her chest. Wow. Congratulations. You figured it out.
I clenched my fists and stood there, horrified by her blatant disregard for her friends. I wondered for a moment if the real Arion was in there somewhere, experiencing the horror this thing did.
Tell me something. Is she still in there, or...
Didn't you listen to anything I just said? The girl you've been talking to has been me all along, genius. The real Arion has been dead for a long time. Now, you can either come with me willingly, or...
I'm not going anywhere with you. Roland's called the cops, and they'll be here soon.
I really hoped she would fall for a bluff.
Oh? I highly doubt that. While you were running through the woods like an idiot, you left your friend alone and vulnerable. Poor thing is probably roadkill by now.
At that moment, rage poured through me, hot and fast, as it twisted inside me and set me alight with the strength and burn of it. I could feel something primal and dangerous stir within my chest. Before she could react, my fist connected with her cheek.
I'll kill you, I screamed.
I wanted to rip her eyes out of her skull. I barely registered the pain in my hands as I landed another blow to her face, hard enough that she staggered backwards. She snapped her head in my direction, and her face contorted into a snarl as she wiped the blood from her mouth.
I was going to offer you a choice, you moron.
Her voice deepened, and it sounded like something was bubbling from her throat. She glanced down at herself.
This body is too much of a hindrance. I must take you in alive. But if I happen to rip off a limb or two to keep you from struggling, then so be it.
A freight train of horrified amazement slammed into me as her whole body expanded and stretched. She tore roughly at her clothes and threw the material from her body just as her breasts flattened, replaced with a broad and muscular chest. The demon was vaguely humanoid, with a tail that slightly resembled that of a xenomorph's. It stood around 8 feet tall on reptilian clawed feet. Black veins pulsed beneath gray skin. Bat-like ears twitched as it dragged in a deep breath through slitted nostrils, and its mouth split open, adorned with a row of sharp, jagged teeth. Its black eyes were trained on me. I felt a sudden wave of dread as I stared up at the large, monstrous being in front of me. The demon lunged forward and pulled me in close. I gagged when I caught the coppery odor of recently spilled blood. A large hand grabbed my chin, and I flinched as one of its claws nicked my cheek. I cursed as I threw myself backwards and tugged hard, but it was as useless as a fish struggling on a line. My whole arm ached, and I knew that if I kept it up, I'd dislocate it. The demon made a low, guttural growl, but before I could do anything, it paused and lifted its head toward the forest. While it was distracted, I managed to get underneath my jacket and loosen the dagger free from my waistband. I plunged the blade into its neck. Blood spilled from the wound, and the demon let out a roar so loud that it made my insides shudder. It released me and recoiled. It thrashed on the ground as it grabbed at the blade. Everything hurt, but I managed to get on my feet, and even though it was tempting, I didn't stick around long enough to admire my handiwork. I also felt a wave of sadness, knowing that I wouldn't be able to get my blade back. Ignoring the pain, I turned and bolted toward the building. I made my way over to the window and quickly hauled myself inside. Without any hope of rescue, I had no other choice but to find some place to hide. I scanned the area and noticed that some of the floors were dilapidated and a few were blocked off by debris. The ceiling sagged in some places, and it seemed that the creeper vines were all that held them up. I turned a corner and noticed stairs heading up to the second floor. I quickly made my way over. Unfortunately, I wasn't quick enough. I barely made it up the last step when a large, clawed hand grabbed my right leg. How the hell did it get in without me hearing it? Oh, and I didn't get to kill it. The wound on its neck was in the process of healing. I panicked and slammed my free leg into its face. The demon let go of my leg and tumbled down the stairs. It would have been comical if not for the fact that I was in serious danger. I bolted down the hallway and turned left. I ran into one of the rooms and shut the door behind me. By the light of the moon, I noticed that I stood inside a large room with walls covered in graffiti. Dusty furniture was propped here and there, and wooden pallets lay broken across the room from a decayed, mold-infested mattress. There was a window overlooking the woods, and I ran over to it. I tried to open it, but it wouldn't budge. I sobbed and collapsed to my knees. My thoughts were hazy at this point, worn thin by exhaustion. I knew that all of this was futile, and I was dealing with something far more powerful than I was. My resignation broke as soon as I heard movement from outside the door. I forced myself to my feet, driven only by an instinct to survive. The demon tore through the door. I screamed as it lunged for me again, and we both fell onto the mattress. It snarled as it pulled me under it with its tail. The demon lowered its head, and I managed at the last moment to wrap both of my hands on its throat in order to try and keep its demonic mess of a mouth at bay. I could feel its hot breath brush against my face, and its tendons and sinewy muscles in its neck bulged. The demon suddenly paused, with its jaws open inches away from my shoulder. It hovered there for a moment, unnaturally still for a predator that had already caught its prey. An oddly unfocused look passed over its face, and it growled.
"What the hell are you?"
Before I could say anything, a loud, angry roar reverberated around us. I blinked as the demon was thrown off of me. My vision refocused, and my eyes landed on the two large figures in the middle of the room. The second one was a creature almost the same height as the demon. The beast was bipedal, and also vaguely humanoid. Its fur was dark and coarse along its arms and legs, but soft and lighter on his chest and abdomen. His legs jut out of human hips, but his feet were large paws. His ankles had the forward hock joints of a wolf. His body was wide and muscular, but he still retained an almost slender shape. His face was nightmarish. A werewolf. I looked between these two powerful beings, and that was the moment I truly found out that humans never really held the top of the food chain. And if that wasn't a giant kick to the evolutionary chain's balls, then I didn't know what was. The two of them collided. The werewolf managed to pull the other into a headlock. The werewolf's golden eyes pierced into me for one heart-stopping moment before he flipped the demon over his head. I could have sworn that the whole place vibrated from the impact. The demon rebounded on its feet with a snarl, and both of them sprang away from each other. I groaned as I moved into the shadows, relieved that they were too preoccupied with trying to kill each other to pay any minds to me. the werewolf snapped his jaws and launched himself at the demon. The demon dodged the attack and threw the werewolf down onto the pallets with a sickening crunch. I bumped my arm against something and winced. The demon turned its head back to me and advanced. I panicked and scurried backwards. The werewolf rolled off the broken wood and grabbed the demon by the tail and managed to dig his fangs into the demon's shoulder. With a shrill cry of pain, the demon twisted and took another swipe of its claw down the werewolf's chest. The werewolf howled and backhanded the demon across the face, and the force sent it reeling into the wall. The werewolf moved towards me in a protective stance, his eyes trained on the demon lying in the hole in the wall. The demon slowly got to its feet, and with a rage-filled, beastly roar, it launched itself out the window. I stood up and carefully turned my gaze to the werewolf, still in the room with me.
We're cool, yeah?
His golden eyes seemed to look over me. Then he growled. I'll take that as a no.
Think, Gavin, think, I thought, looking wildly around the dark room for an escape.
I glanced over at the window and ran over to it. I hoisted myself up into the thin rectangular ledge of the window, and even though I wasn't religious, I prayed to whatever deity that I didn't simply topple over to my death. I cried out as a clawed hand latched onto my left leg. In my haste to kick out of his grasp, my hands lost their grip of the roof below me. I felt several claws slice into the skin of my leg as I fell backwards over the roof and down to the ground below. I could have sworn the beast whimpered, but the pain was too much, and darkness pulled me under.